I've been speaking about what I believe the Lord was laying on my heart about us as a church and this transitional phase that we are going through from one place to the other, this journey, almost like the Israelites that journeyed from Egypt to the Promised Land. And this transitional phase was in between the two, where they traveled through the desert. And I was sharing about how to prepare ourselves for the Promised Land, because when they left Egypt, they were a mixed multitude, but by the time they entered into the Promised Land, they were one nation. And I believe God was saying, firstly, we need to learn how to follow. And we shared a little bit about how to follow. What does it mean when God says that we need to learn to follow first before we can enter into the promise that He has for us? And we looked at the fact that Israel once, while they were still in Egypt, they were slaves. They were forced to do things. And the only thing that they knew were how to obey a command forcefully. They only did what they were told to do. And then God is saying, but listen, you have to be able to get into the Promised Land. You need to learn how to follow, not because you have to, but because you want to. There's a big difference doing stuff because you're forced to do something, and then doing stuff because you want to do something. And that's how God leads. You know, God says that I am your shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And you know, in the Middle East, the shepherds were different than today. They didn't chase their sheep, but they actually led the sheep. They walked ahead of their sheep, and the sheep followed. And God is saying, for you to enter into the promise I have for you, you need to learn to trust me and to do because you want to, not to do because you have to, because you're no longer a slave, you're now free. But you must still follow me. And so we looked at this first step of following Jesus, and we shared about John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, when Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, those who believed in Him, which is us who believe in Him, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because you cannot enter into the promise of God as a slave. You have to enter into it free. And we shared about what it means to abide in the word. And as a church, we are spending 40 days in the word. And I presented this challenge for us as a church to take 40 days and every day spend time in the Word, even if it's just 15 minutes. And that was kind of, you know, what I'm putting my faith out is that every member of the church would spend at least 15 minutes a day just in the Word. Because the Word of God is not just a good discipline, it is God. It is the Word of God that became flesh and lived amongst us. It is the Word of God that was with God. Remember, in the beginning, the Word of God was with God, and Word of God was God, and everything that came into existence was through the Word of God, and the Word became flesh. And we have the Word of God, and God is saying, this is far more. Jesus is saying, if you're my disciples, you will abide in this, because then you will be my disciples indeed. Because the Word of God is not just discipline, it is life. So we're putting out our faith that for 40 days we will just spend 15 minutes a day. It's a tea break. It's much shorter than seven alone. It's just 15 minutes. To spend in God's Word with an understanding, an expectation, a desire to know God. Because we cannot follow God if we do not know God. How can we follow that we do not know? And by spending time in His Word, we'll get to know who He is. And today I want to continue with the second step for us to prepare ourselves for the Promised Land. How to prepare to enter into the Promised Land. And the second thing that I believe God is saying, to be able to be ready to enter into the Promised Land. You know, to know, you have to know where it is. You have to know where the Promised Land is. You know, you need to know what it is to enter into it. I mean, it's so important to know where God is taking you. Because if you don't know where He's taking you, how are you ever going to enter into it? What is that saying that if you aim at nothing, you will hit it? You ate nothing. But one of the important things to prepare us to enter into God's destiny, God's purpose, is to know what it is, to know where it is. In Numbers 13, verse 1 to 2, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. Each from each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader amongst them." It is so obvious, but yet so important. God speaks to Israel and says, "I have a destiny for you." That destiny is there. It is a specific place. It's called the land of Canaan. That is your destiny. And I want you to send spies into that land so that you can see and know what I'm calling you to. And one of the steps that I believe God wants to take us to take to enter into His destiny, His purpose for us, is to know what it is. Because how are you ever going to get there? How are you going to get there if you don't know where it is? Now, for us as a church, as I was preparing, I believe God wants me to go beyond that, and I'm going to go beyond that, not just for us as a church, but I want to really share what God is laying on my heart, and that is more than the church. Today, I'm not so much preaching about our destiny as a church. I want to talk about your destiny as an individual. I want to speak about your promised land. I want to speak about where God is taking you and me as individuals. Now, as a church, our destiny, our promised land is this town. This is Hermanus. This is where God wants to take us. God wants us to be here. God's destiny for us is to influence, to transform this town with the gospel. To go out into this town and to get people saved and to gather the lost, to gather the disillusioned, the hurt, the broken, to bring them back into the kingdom of God and to disciple them, to teach them to follow Jesus, so that we in ourselves again will become laborers in the harvest field so that the harvest can come in. You know, our promised land as a church is this town, is to go and to extend the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God only extends through lives being saved. That's how you measure the advancement of the kingdom of God. And the church is meant to move. God says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell, a place, will not prevail against it." Why? Because the church is going to move. So that is us as a church. But today, I believe God is asking the question to you and me as an individual. Where is your promised land? Where are you going? Because each one of us, life is a journey. Life is a journey. Life is moving from one place to the next. And each one of us are on a journey. You are either going somewhere or you're going nowhere. But you're going somewhere. You are moving. And I really believe God is asking today, where are you going? Do you know where you're going? Or are you just going? Because there are just so many Christians today, they are just going. But they don't know where they're going. God has a plan and a purpose for every life. God has a plan and purpose for every life here. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. That plan, that will of God for your life, it's called your destiny. You have a destiny. You have a purpose. God has a plan for your life. My question this morning is that I believe God is asking is, do you know God's plan for your life? We all know where we came from. And if you're here, you probably left Egypt. I hope. If not, we'll give you an opportunity to leave Egypt. And But do you know where you're going now that you left Egypt? Do you know where you're heading? Do you know your destination? Because you know what? In Christian life, you're either in preparation or you're in possession of God's destiny for your life. You're either in this transitional phase of going to where God wants you to be, and in this process of getting to where God wants you to be, you are being prepared for that, or you've already crossed the Jordan and you're in where God wants you to be, but you have to possess it. It's not just, I have arrived. I want to share about those things because I think there are so many Christians that do not understand this, that God has a plan for your life. But as humans, we choose which route we take. God has a plan for your life, but you and I, He has given free will. So we can choose whether we're going to follow the plan of God for our lives or whether we're going to do something else. Whether we're going to go somewhere else. God's desire, the Father's desire, is that every man should be saved. God gave His Son that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. But we as humans have a choice. We have a choice whether we're going to embrace that salvation or not. God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. He has a destination for your life. And we have a choice whether we're going to get there or not. We have a choice. And that's why it's so important that the first step is to actually know who God is. Because we need to follow Him. That's why we start with the very basics and just getting to know God. Seeing Jesus so that we can follow Him. But the next question is, do you know where He's leading you? Or are you just going in the desert somewhere? Because there's a difference between the promised land and the desert. God has a plan for your life versus some other plan. And are you following God's plan or are you just following some other plan? Because if you're following God's plan, it will get you to the promised land. If you're just following some other plan, you will remain in the desert. He has a calling on your life. Who have ever heard that term before? Calling. What does that mean? Ever thought about that? You heard about people say, I've got a calling on my life. You know what is the sad thing is, I was teaching Bible school about calling and separation, and I realized all these notes were so unbalanced because it reinforced the wrong understanding of God's calling. Because most people, when they say they have got a calling on their life, they relate to it as the fact that they called to full-time ministry. Have you heard that before? When people say they have a calling on their life, they relate to the fact that God has called them in their vocation to be in a full-time capacity of serving God. And then it sounds like only those who are in the pulpit, who are in the ministry in a full-time capacity, has a calling. How wrong! How skew! God has a plan for each and every life here. He has a plan for your life. He has a calling on your life. He has a destination where He wants you to go. It's called destiny. It's the promised land. God has a destiny for your life. Calling, destiny, simply means the will of God for your life. God has a will for your life. My question is, do you know His will for your life? Do you know your calling? Your destiny? God's will for your life. The calling relates to what we do. Who we are. It's God that determines your calling. God determines His will for your life. The source of your calling, your destiny, your will. It's God's will. We say it. God has a will for your life. My question is, do you know what it is? I cannot tell you that. Only God can, because it's God's will for your life. It's not my will for your life. It's not even your will for your life. It's God's will for your life. And we have a choice whether we're going to go for what God wants us to be, where He wants us to be, or just some other plan. But God determines your destination. God determines your calling. God determines His will for your life. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. I just want to emphasize that the source of your calling is not man, it's not an institution, it's not the church, it is God. My question is, do you know that? Do you know the will of God for your life? Because if you don't, the source is God Himself. That's why if you need to find it, you need to find God. We have different callings. That's what 1 Corinthians is all about. You have different callings as God pleases. God determines it. It's different. Your vocation and your gifting is different. Some of us, God has called to be a teacher. And some of us, God has called to be a plumber. And some of us, God has called to be a doctor. And some of us, God has called to be a pastor. But God is the one that determines. We don't. God determines His will for our life. And there's a difference between your vocation. Then God has given us also giftings. That merges, that lapses, that flows into our vocation. Some is given the gift of prophecy, the gift of teaching, of discernment, of healing, of faith. That those things flow into His will for us. And many times we try to separate the spiritual side from the physical side. And yes, God has called some of us to be accountants, and He's also called us to be leaders in the church. Or you understand what I mean? But those things are not separate. It's a lie, this whole concept of church and state that needs to be separate. It's rubbish. Your vocation is not separate from your calling. It probably is. I hope it is. Because God has a purpose for your life. You know what is the saddest thing? There are so many people that think they're only going to arrive once they get into full-time ministry. And there's so many people that are frustrated because they're not in full-time ministry. And then they get into full-time ministry and then they're still frustrated because God didn't call them to be a pastor. God's called them to be a teacher or an accountant. But you know what? We think that being in the ministry in a full-time capacity is somehow a greater calling than being a mother at home. There's this underlying mindset that if you in the ministry in a full-time capacity, if you're a pastor, you have a greater calling than a teacher or an accountant or a dentist or a doctor. That's rubbish. It's the will of God for your life, whether it's a pastor or a dentist. It's God's will for your life. And one day we're going to stand before God and God is going to say, I hope, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a little thing. I will make you a ruler over many. My will for your life was to be a teacher and you were faithful in being a teacher. Well done, good and faithful servant. Some of us will stand before God, being in the ministry, and God's going to say, shucks, man, I called you to be a teacher. And you went to run after the church. Oh, well, not the church. That's a good thing. You went to become a pastor. But I never called you to be a pastor. I called you to be a teacher. But we think being a pastor is greater than being a teacher. It's not. Jaco, is jy nog hier? Where's Jaco? He went. Kitty's church. Shucks, I keep on forgetting. I mentioned it in Bible school. I have a friend. He's a medical doctor. His name is Franz. But when he got saved, he changed his name to Scarpa. He went to Binnelandse Sake and he had his passport. Everything changed. From now, it's Scarpa Franz. Scarpa, what does that stand for again? It's something like, Scarpa is an abbreviation for, I must ask Jaco, he knows that. It's Spirit-filled, Charismatic, Revival, Proclaiming Agent, something like that. Literally. Literally, when he got saved, he knew he became a new creation, and he had a purpose, and that's to be a Spirit-filled, Revivalist agent, whatever it stands for. I can't even remember what it is. But you ask Jaco what Scarpa stands for. He's known as Scarpa. It's Dr. Scarpa. He's a medical doctor. And he was with us in London again. You know what? And all that Scarpa does is, as a medical doctor, he gets people saved. He's a doctor. You know, this is the person that you see. He is so anointed in proclaiming, in teaching, and explaining the gospel. Everybody says it's a calling on his life, and they want to make him a pastor. And he's just like, hands off. I'm not a pastor. I'm a doctor. And you know what he does in England amongst his atheist kids? He gets them saved. Left, right, and center. He was at St. George's Medical Campus as a lecturer. And one of his responsibilities was voorlichting. What do you call that in English? Yeah, well, you help kids, you know, with their decisions and they're struggling with their studies and stuff. That was one of his responsibility. And you know what? He gets so many kids saved. At the end of the year, they voted him as the best lecturer on campus. And all that he does is gets people saved. And he brings them to church. And then what I do at the end of the service, I make an altar call and they all get saved. And everybody thinks I'm anointed. I didn't do anything. Scarpa did everything. Scarpa is the one that connects with all the unsaved people, that walks the road with them for months, sharing with them the love of God and the gospel. By the time they get to church, I just make the altar call. Scarpa is not called to be in the ministry. He's called to be a doctor. That's God's will for him. God has given him the giftings to be a teacher and a pastor and faith so that he can be effective in his calling, which is to be a doctor. Is Belinda here? There she is. Who, you know Belinda? She's like Scarpa. She's just a female version. She goes around and she disciples every soul that she can find. And then when they're ready for the picking, she phones me. She says, hey, this guy wants to, he needs to speak to you. And then I go and I do a sinner's prayer and I get saved. I didn't do anything. I just did the prayer. She did all the work. She's a mother. Homeschooling, you know the homeschooling type. We look down on that calling, on that purpose, because it's not in the full-time ministry. But she gets more people saved than I do. I just do the sinner's prayer. I just do the altar call. She does all the hard work. She's doing the will of God for her life. She's doing her destiny. What has God called you to do? I mean, Stephen, I used that example in Bible school. Stephen Miller, you know who he is? He works for the municipality. He's the senior town engineer. What is he? What is his title? I don't know. Something like that. Yeah, it's infrastructure and planning. Or, you know, some groot kop daanie in die municipaliteit. You know what he does? That's his calling. He's called to be in the municipality. You know what he does? He's plowing the field. He's like a plow in this world. He plows the field through who he is, through his character, through his integrity, through his knowing God, in his workplace, faithfully, every day. People look up to him. They say, this is an amazing man. You know what he does? He plows the hard ground so that somebody else can come along and sow the seed. So that somebody else can come and water it. And so that somebody else can harvest it. And then you think, I'm great. I did nothing. He did all the hard work. My point is, God has called him not to be in the ministry here in a full-time capacity from the pulpit. God has called him to be in the municipality so that he can plow the field. God has called him and anointed him to do that. That is his purpose. That is his destiny. My question is, what is yours? Do you know what God has called you to, or are you just doing something? Because God has a will for your life. He has a plan for your life. He has a calling on your life. Do you know what it is? Because you're either in preparation for that, or you're in the process of possessing that. But you will never be able to possess it if you do not know what it is. So do you know? And you know what? God's will for your life, the destination, it changes. It changes. God's plan for your life, that destiny, that promised land that God moves us, and I want you to see is God, life with God is not stationary, it's a constant movement of following Jesus. Following Jesus where He's going. Following Him because He's taking us to our destiny. To His will for our lives. And as we follow Him, it changes. It changes. But it's always from glory to glory. And in this process of moving from one place to the next place. Because God will take you somewhere and He will say, this is it. This is my will for you for now. I want you to be a teacher. And then you're a teacher for 20 years. And then finally the government says, you're too old, get out. Look where Jesus is going. Because then it changes. You're no longer a teacher. And then you need to see where Jesus is going. You need to follow Him because He will take you to somewhere else. To something else. It changes. Our seasons in our life changes, and so does God's will for our life. It's not just fixed there, and then it's all over. It continues. And you're either in preparation, or you're in possession. But if you're on the move, if you're in between, if you're in this transition, it means God is preparing you for something, but do you know where you're going? So God's plan for you is destiny. It's the promised land. It's from glory to glory. Some other plan that we do. It's not called destiny. It's called meaningless. There are a lot of Christians that are busy with meaningless stuff. And they're missing their destiny. They're missing the will of God for their life because they're not following God's plan for their life. They're following some other plan, and that is meaningless. When you look back to your life, when you look back at everything that you've done, there's nothing eternal there. It's like a desert. There's nothing. You know, I've been doing this for years, but when I look back, there's like nothing. It's a desert. Destiny is not something that happens by fate alone. Many people relate to destiny as fate. Who have heard that before? You know, when something happens, they say, but that was destiny. That's nonsense. Destiny is the will of God, but we choose whether we enter into it or not. God has a plan for your life, but you choose whether you're going to follow that or not. Destiny is not something that falls upon us. It's something that we enter into. Ask the Israelites when they got to the Jordan land, to the Jordan River, the first time. God said, this is your destiny. It's yours. And they chose not to go into it. Destiny is not just fate that you cannot control. No, you choose to enter into your destiny. They had many reasons for not entering, but they chose something else. They chose another route that was in the desert that meant, at the end, very little.
And don't misunderstand me. It doesn't mean that God's provision isn't there if you're in the desert. It doesn't mean as a Christian that if you decide, or if you do not know, or you're still confused, or you're just going somewhere and you don't know, that God's provision isn't there for you, that God's love isn't there for you, that His protection isn't there for you. No, don't misunderstand me. The Israelites that chose not to enter into the promised land, you know what? There was a pillar of fire at night and a cloud at day that led them everywhere they went. There was manna, there was supernatural provision. God sent manna and the quails and the water that was in the desert, God provided from supernaturally. Their clothes for 40 years didn't wear. They had the same clothes and the same saddles for 40 years. Ladies, I think you might think it's a curse, but it's a miracle. God sustained them. God provided for them. Even though they were not walking in their destiny. Some people think that if you miss your destiny, God's not going to be there. No, He's going to be there. He loves you. You're His child. But when you look back at your life, it's going to be nothing. Eternally significant. But when you walk in your destiny, when you look back at your life, you can see what God has done. So my question to you is, are you walking in the desert or are you walking in your destiny? Are you walking somewhere, or you're walking towards your destiny? Do you know that? There are many Christians that live in the desert for various reasons. Another misconception is that the promised land is going to be easy. That once you enter into your destiny, everything is just going to fall into place. It's just going to be nice. It's just going to be easy. The reason you're struggling is because clearly you're not in your destiny. You're clearly not in the will of God. That's why you're struggling. But because if you enter into God's purpose for your life, God's will for your life, His destiny for you, then everything is going to be easy. Well, that's a misconception. I mean, when God called Israel to the promised land, you know what He did? He said, listen, I want you to go check it out. I want you to send spies. And they came back with eyes this big. They said, shucks, man. There are giants there. There are fortified cities. There are trained armies with chariots and horses and shields and spears. We've got like sticks. We've got the same stuff on for 40 years. We're outdated. They've got cell phones and iPads and all kinds of stuff. We've got Nokia 5110s. They have WhatsApp and Skype. But we have like, hierdie nommertjies wat jy so 100 keer moet tik voordat jy by die lettertjie uitkom. We can throw them with the freaking thing, but we can't do anything else. No, God didn't take away the giants and the fortified cities and the armies. He said, you must go and possess it. They had to fight for every inch of it. Your destiny is not a place of comfort. It's a place of possession. It's not for sissies. It's for the brave and the courageous. Because some of you are fighting your fortified cities and your giants, and you think, this cannot be God's will for my life. God's called you to possess it, to take it. So don't think if you enter into your calling, you're not going to face the challenges. No, you are. It's not always easy. But when you look back, you can see eternity. You can see. I mean, being a mother isn't a less of a calling than being a pastor. If God has called you to be a mother, to raise your children, that's going to take as much faith as I need. You're going to need to be a teacher, the gift of teaching. You're going to need the gift of healing. Not just, you're going to counsel. You're going to deal with inner healing, physical healing. You're going to deal with the attacks on the gospel through the world. You need God's anointing as much as I do. The one is not less than the other. The one is just the will of God. And the other one is also the will of God. But what has God has called you to? And those seasons, they change. I mean, they change. Some of you are leaving school. So you're in a transition from where you used to be to where God is taking you. I mean, some of you are starting your first job. Some of you are starting a family. You used to be single, and now you're in this transitional phase to be married, and then you marry, and then you're in this transitional phase to be a father, and then you're in this transitional phase to see your kids go, and then after they've left, to become a grandfather. You understand what I mean? The seasons in our life change. The will of God changes. Not that He decides something other. It's not just one thing in your life. It changes. And when you're in this transitional phase, it's so important to know where you're going. And the only way you're going to know is if you ask God. If you ask God. Some of us here are in a transitional phase, physically or spiritually. And it's like, you know that the season has changed. You know I used to be here, but I'm no longer here. I'm going somewhere else, either physically or spiritually. I know where I'm coming from, and I have to go somewhere, but I don't know where it is. Who of you are like that? You know you're in a transition. You know where you used to be, and you know it's like God is pushing you somewhere else, and it's a transitional phase. It's a preparation for something. There's some of us here that are in that phase of knowing that things are changing and God is leading me somewhere. You need to know. You need to ask God to show you. Don't just take any route. Okay? If you become a father, there's a young father. Don't just take any route. Ask God. I'm now a father. Father, you teach me to be a father. I want to follow you to be a father. Show me. Don't just take any route because you'll end up in the desert. If you're retired and you're in this transitional phase of having so much responsibility and now having, well, your wife, maybe the garden. Ask God. Say, God, what is your will for my life? I want to know it so that I can go there. Some of us here, we know that we're in a transitional phase. We know the promised land. We actually have not just moved away from one space in eternity for God's purpose in our life, and we know we're in this transition to somewhere else, and we even know where that is. We even know the destiny, the will of God. We know we have to get there, the land of Canaan. We have to travel this road to get there, but you don't know how to get into it. Is there some of you here like that? You know your destiny, but you don't know how to get there. Is there anybody here like that? I'm sure there is somebody. Because I'm preaching to the two groups of you and that third group that, you know, didn't even know they had a destiny. What I'm saying, you do. Ask me. Ask God. One of the keys to know the will of God for your life, the destiny that He has for you. And one of the keys to know the strategy to possess that destiny, to possess that land. The first key is to desire it. You will never know it unless you really want it. If you want to know it, ask God, desire it. Because so many people, they don't care. You know, I left Egypt, so I'm safe now. So I just go wherever. And that's fine. God's going to be there. He's going to bless you. He's going to protect you. But He's never going to show you Canaan unless you ask Him. Ask him. Simply ask him. One of the keys of knowing our destiny is a desire for it. So in case you didn't know it, sorry to burst your bubble, but ask him. Just ask him. Go desire it. And then the other key is to hear him say it to you. Hear him speak it to you. Hear his voice. Hear the voice of God. Hear the voice of God when he says, there, the land of Canaan. It's going to become Israel. It used to be Canaan, but that place. You need to hear God's voice. And hearing God's voice starts where we were yesterday or last week. Hearing the voice of God starts in the Word of God. And that's why it's so sad for me to see 80% of Christians today statistically do not read the Word of God anymore on a regular basis. 80% of Christians don't read the Word of God. We're just going in a direction. We're just going somewhere. And that's why it's so important. And I'm not saying God can only speak to you through the Bible. Now, God speaks through that still small voice. Yes, God speaks through prophecy. Yes, God speaks through visions. Yes, God speaks through dreams. But you know what? Primarily, hearing God's voice, what would be another term to say, I want to hear God's voice? That's a step beyond that. Somebody's voice consists of words. Words. What do we call this? The Word of God. And I see so many Christians, they want to hear the Word of God. They want to hear God's voice, but they don't read it. It's there. This is the foundation of it. Spend time with it, with the diet. Because, you know, Scripture says this is alive and powerful. Last week, this is not just a good discipline. This is the Word that became flesh. This is the Word that is alive. Spend time in it with a desire saying, God, I want to know You, God. I want to see You. I want to understand You. I want to know Your Word. I want to see Your example. I want to hear Your voice. Spend time in the Word with your destiny in mind, with your purpose in mind. Now I'm taking it that you've done 7 days, hopefully. I'm taking it to the next 7 days. When you spend time in the Word, don't just spend time in it because it's alive. Spend time in it because it has direction. It's your compass. You can go to God with a desire, to the Father, and say, Father, I want to know the season that I'm in. I want to know where You're taking me, God. I want to know Your will for my life. God, and I'm coming to You, Lord, because I want to know. I want to know. And you ask God the question on your heart, and I can guarantee you, God's going to speak to you. When you come to Him to hear His Word, it is such a powerful thing when you come and you take some time with the purpose of hearing God. And He might not speak to you today, He might not speak to you tomorrow, but He will speak to you. If you diligently seek Him, you will find Him. God's Word leads to life. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says the Word of God is living and powerful. The Word always leads to life because Christ always leads to life. And one of the keys to know, to find God's plan for your life, the keys to understand God's way for your life, that way that leads to abundant life is found in here. It's found in here. So seek God for the purpose of your life, for the season that you're in. Don't just go anywhere. Ask Him, God, what is Your will for my life that You may prepare me for that? And I want to say to you, for some of you, you are probably in it. You don't even know it. Maybe you are a teacher. Maybe you are a dentist. Maybe you are a plumber and you think it cannot be this. Maybe it is it. Have you asked God? Maybe God wants to use you as a plow. Maybe He wants to use you to sow seed. Whatever it is, God wants to use the spiritual giftings that He has given you in your profession because that is how we change the community. I do not have any unsaved friends because I've got 180 saved ones that wants to eat with me and tea with me and cater with me all the time. Poor Greg, he invites me every weekend for Brian. I feel so bad every time I say, I can't now. I've got to work on my sermon. Don't invite me on a Saturday evening. But my friends are all saved people. You are my friends. I spend all my time with saved people. You, on the other hand, have lots of unsaved people around you. I work with saints, with Carmen and Yaku and Lizelle, John. That's the people I work with. They're all saved. It's so sad. It's a good thing, but I never get to connect with unsaved people. You do. God has called you to be there where I'm not. Because my job is not more significant than yours. I dare say you have a far more important calling than I do. Belinda has a far more important calling than I do because she reaches out to the lost, to save the broken, where they're at. And you know what? When I'm in a conversation with unsaved people, and you know what? It's 5 minutes and then they ask you the terrible question, so what do you do for life? And I know, oh shucks, the moment I'm going to tell them, the conversation is going to change. The language is going to change. The words they use are going to change. Everything is going to change. And the moment I do, everything changes. If you say whatever you do, nothing changes. There's no masks. Your calling is far more valuable than mine. Because you are reaching the lost. Don't think you have a lesser calling. You have a more important calling. My job is to be the cheerleader and to be the trainer so that you can go back and be more effective. But I simply train the troops. You fight the war. I only train you. I did that in the army. I trained the officers and the NCOs. That's what I did. And they said, well, now you got to go in there. I'm not going there. You go going there. Go for it. Okay, they did call us in from time to time, but that's not the point. You understand, that's my job, to train you, because you have the important ministry. God has called you. Do you know what He's called you to? Are you preparing yourself to be effective as a plow, as a doctor, as a plumber, as sowing seed, as watering seed? Are you becoming effective in that? Are you allowing God to teach you to become a plow? Or you're just part of the feet that stamps the ground harder and harder? Or are you allowing God to make you a plow so that you can plow the field? A sower to sow the seed? Somebody that brings the water? That's what today is about. I've got so much more to share, but I think my time's running out. I want to end off with this invitation that God makes in Isaiah 55. I'm going to read the entire chapter, so please hold on. Final scripture, I'm going to end off with this. Isaiah 55, God makes an invitation to those who are hungry and thirsty to know the way of God, the will of God. To know destiny, to know purpose. To be able to stand at the end of our lives and look back and see eternity. Isaiah 55 from verse 1, it says, "Yo, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money on what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance." Why are you just going around in the desert? "Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of the people. Surely you shall be called a nation, or surely you shall call a nation you do not know. And nations whom you do not know shall run to you, because the Lord your God and his Holy One of Israel for he has glorified you. In other words, he's saying, listen here, people are going to come to you because I am in you. Why didn't you ask me? Why did you come to me and make what you do eternal? And when you do, when you listen to me, they will come to you, they will run to you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now listen to this. Coming back to the Word of God and knowing God's will for your life. And the struggle, if you do not know where you're going, or you know that you're in transition, but you don't know where you're going, or you know where you're going, but you don't know how to get there. Listen to God as he speaks. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. We figured that out. And my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. And now he says something powerful. He says, my thoughts and my ways are not your thoughts and your ways. As a matter of fact, as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God is saying, I have a will for your life. I have a plan for your life. I have a way for your life. I have thoughts about your life. But my thoughts and my ways are not your thoughts and your ways. As a matter of fact, as far as the heavens is removed from the earth, so far removed is my thoughts and my way for your life. So how do we breach it? How do we know it? How does it come together? How do we get God's ways and thoughts to coincide, to bring our ways and our thoughts to coincide with his ways and his thoughts? He goes on to say, it's so powerful. He says, for as the rain comes down and the snow come down from heaven, in the same way as my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, as the heavens are higher than the earth, in the same way as I send rain from the heaven and snow from the heaven that comes down to the earth, my ways, my thoughts come down to the earth. And they do not return there, but water the earth and make it bud and bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that proceeds from my mouth. It shall not return void to me, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things which I send. So God is saying something powerful. He says, listen, yeah, our ways and our thoughts are here, and his ways and thoughts are there. They are as far apart as heaven from earth. But God is saying, in the same way as I send rain from heaven that does not return there, but actually gives life to the earth. It gives bread and seed, and it produces what it's purposed to do. In the same way as I send rain, so I send my word. So I send my word. Because your ways and your thoughts are not my ways and my thoughts. So I've sent my word, the word that was with me in the beginning, that became flesh, that I've given to you that is alive, which is Christ Jesus, which is the word of God. When I send that, when you receive that, it will accomplish its purpose to bring my thoughts and my ways to you. How important is it to know the will of God for your life? It's very important. It's the difference between the promised land and the desert. It's very important. Is it difficult to know it at times? Yes. Why? Because it's so far removed from our own thoughts and our own ways. But God says, if you come to me, if you're hungry and thirsty, if you listen to me, I will send you my word. I will send you my word, and it will produce its purpose in you. To make you know my thoughts and my ways. If you want to know God's thoughts and his ways for your life, we have another 33 days left. Spend time in it. With an expectation in it. But listen to the results. Listen to when God says that He will accomplish its purpose, because sometimes people are afraid. They're afraid to ask God for His will because they're afraid He might say, you shouldn't be a plumber. So we're afraid to ask Him. Or sometimes we're afraid to ask Him because He might say, you're meant to be a plumber. But look at the results. Look at the results. Now listen, the results of those who receive the world, who hold on to it. It says here, verse 12, you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of a thorn, you shall have a cypress tree. Instead of the beer, you shall have the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that you shall not be cut off. Do you see that? Don't be afraid to follow where God leads you. Don't be afraid to ask Him. Come with an expectation to Him. Ask Him in this time of transition. Ask Him to show you your promised land, to show you the will that He has for your life. Ask Him. Ask God. Ask God, and when you desire, when you seek to Him, when He shows you, ask Him to teach you. Ask Him to show you. When you're the dentist and you're drilling the teeth, or you're the plumber and you're cleaning the pipe, or you're the teacher and you're doing maths, ask God. How, God? You've called me to do this. This is the season that I'm in. How, Lord? Show me the giftings that you've given me so that I can be a Scarpa. Spirit-filled revival agent, proclaiming agent. Show me how to harvest, Lord. Show me your will. Show me your purpose. Teach me to be the tool that you have created me, the one that you've chosen me to, so that one day, Father, when I stand before you, I may hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a little. You were faithful over those four things that I've given you, those two things that I've given you. You were faithful over that. Yes, it might have been small and insignificant in your own eyes. And yes, it might have been less than the other guy and more than him, but it doesn't matter. You were faithful over that. Well done. You did what I called you to do. Well done. Don't think if you're old. I wanted to preach on Caleb, man, but God stopped me. But don't think if you're old. Caleb, you know who Caleb was? He was one of the spies with Joshua. You know, he's one of my heroes. We know a lot about Joshua, but go read a bit about Caleb. Caleb was 40 years old when he went into the promised land as a spy. 40 years old, and he checked this thing out. And he came also back with eyes like this, but he said, you know what? God is with us. We can do this. And then the rest said, no. We're not going to do this. This is the will of God. We're not going to go. That's too difficult. We'd rather go another way. He had to wait 40 years. By the time he got to the promised land the second time, he was 84 years old. Go read what he did. Joshua was also in his 80s. Go read what he did. Moses was 80 years old when he had that burning bush experience. Don't think your purpose is over. Theirs only started when they were 80. I mean, Moses was born into the palace as a prince. That was not God's purpose for his life. For a season it was. But that wasn't the main thing, was it? It was preparing him, wasn't it? It was simply preparing him for something. And then Moses saw how the Egyptians oppressed the Israelites. And he acted and he killed a man, but that wasn't his purpose, was it? No, it was preparing him. And then he fled into the desert and he was a shepherd for decades. That wasn't his purpose. And then one day he saw this burning bush. He was 80 years old. And God saying, that whole 80 years was just preparation. It was just preparation. I'm just saying, you know what? I don't know how old you are, but don't think you've done it. God's will for your life only ends the day He takes you home. And who knows? Maybe the greatest thing is still to come. Maybe you're young and you're just being prepared. Be prepared as best as you can. So by the time you get there, you're ready. You're ready. What has God called you to do? What is God's will for your life? Ask Him. Ask Him. Ask Him to show you. Ask Him to teach you. Ask Him to become what He has called you to. Ask Him to walk in the destiny that He has and then choose to do it. Choose to be it. Run. And don't stop. Run and don't stop. But it starts here. Seek Him. Seek Him. Your life is not over. It is not over. It's not over. You were naughty in the past. But it's not over. You're not disqualified. You've just been trained. Let's pray. Father, I want to pray that You will grant us as a church to be a people that knows Your will. A people that moves towards Your will for our lives. Thank You, Father, that we will run for that. And we will cross our Jordans, knowing that You are with us. That we shall go and possess the land that You have given us. God, that we will take down the fortified cities, Lord. We will kill the giants. And we will possess the land that You have given us. And our generations that follow us, Lord, will eat the fruit, God. Will eat the fruit of Your provision in Your destiny for us. Thank You for legacies, God, that will be left in this lifetime for the lives to follow, Lord. I thank You, God, for stepping stones, Lord, for grandchildren. Stepping stones for grandchildren, Lord. Because of legacies that was established. Because of land that was conquered, possessed, claimed for You. Thank You, God, that they will run. They will start their lives when we have ended it. Our ceilings will be the floors in this life to come, Lord. I thank You that the kingdom will come in this generation and that to come. In Jesus' name. Amen.